fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Dr. Peter Williamson, the Adam Cardinal Mita Chair of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and the editor of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. We've just been having a great time. This week and a few weeks ago, we did the same thing, talking about the Book of Revelation. And Peter wrote a great commentary in the Book of Revelation recently that I would really encourage you to go out and buy. And then just go to Amazon and look at all the books that are available, all the commentaries that are available in the Catholic Commentary of Sacred Scripture. I use it all the time, this stuff, because it's real scholarship, but it's so accessible to ordinary people. It's not super technical, but it's got all the key stuff you need there. It's got great reflections in it, and it just helps open up and answer some of the difficult questions that we all find when we're working our way through Scripture. And remember, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, and we all want to know Christ. If you really want to know Jesus and have a deeper relationship with Him and His personal call in your life, you got to live in the Scripture. You got to chew on the Scripture every day. It's so important. Without it, literally, you will be, as some of the saints told us, ignorant of Christ. Anyway, here we are. I'm sorry, I just kind of got off on that tangent of preaching, Peter. Welcome, yeah. Dr. Peter Williamson.
Thank you. Yeah. Really a pleasure to be with you, and I couldn't agree with you more about Scripture. Feeding on it every day is life-giving to me. I read it every day over breakfast. That's when I read the Bible, and I just love it. Today I read Ezekiel 40. I'm just working through Ezekiel.
All right.
It's good.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So yesterday we talked about one of the main themes in the Book of Revelation, worship and witness. We talked yesterday about worship, which is great. Friends, if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them, listen to them on your iPod whenever it's convenient. But we didn't get to witness. Let's talk about that today.
Great.
Why that's so important and how it fits into the Book of Revelation.
Okay, well, we were talking about chapter 11 of Revelation, which it gives a picture, a strange picture, parables, if you will, visions, saying in picture language, what is the role of the church between the coming of Christ and the end of history? And it describes, first of all, the church at worship in the first couple verses, and that's what we talked about yesterday. But then in verses 3 to 13, and it speaks about the witness of the church, and it does this by describing two witnesses. Now, it's true that in history there have been many people who thought that this refers to two specific people at the end of history, but I think the better interpretation, and the one that that many scholars and many church fathers have gone with, is that this description of two witnesses is symbolic or a parable for the witness of the church. So, what does it say about them? It says, first of all, that they're clothed with sackcloth. Sackcloth is a symbol of repentance. So, these witnesses are people who are preaching repentance. They wear that in their clothing, but they have repented. They're repentant people, and they're grieving over the sins of the world. So the church is called to witness repentance. But another thing about these witnesses is they proclaim the word with tremendous power, charismatic power. I mean, they call fire down from heaven. They have confirmation of their word by shutting the heavens so that they don't rain. Now, I don't think it's talking about literally this is what the church is supposed to do or this is what the witnesses do. It's saying in picture language, recalling stories from the past about the prophet Elijah and the things that he did as a witness. It's trying to say the church is called to preach the word of God, to summon the world to repentance, to conversion, and it's to do it with great power of the Holy Spirit. And I think if we want to see what it looks like in a realistic way, we don't look at Revelation 11, we look at the Acts of the Apostles. Because the Acts of the Apostles presents, if you will, the paradigm of Christian witness. So you see, there's healings, there's preaching, there's miracles, there's things that the Lord does. And if you look at the history of the church, the lives of the saints, you look at the world even today, there are many places where miracles are happening, healings are happening. There's a power that accompanies the preaching of the word. I wasn't with Peter Herbeck when he was on this mission trip to Hungary years ago, but I remember this wonderful story. Father Mike Scanlon participated. I remember him telling about it, of having two people, blind people, receive their sight on that mission.
Yep,
that's just a nice, dramatic example of lesser, of all kinds of workings of power when we share the good news. I remember another friend of mine, Don Schwager, witnessing to a Chinese student who was, you know, raised a communist, and Don kept telling him about the gospel, telling him, and the guy didn't pay any attention. One day the guy came in with this terrible headache, migraine, and Don says, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" And the guy said, "Okay, okay, can't hurt." Don prayed over him, and he got immediate relief from his headache, and he believed, and he was baptized. This was back before, you know, this was back in the 80s, a long time ago, and just little things that God is willing to do to confirm that this is really his message. So the witness of the church is characterized by power from God, power from the Holy Spirit that confirms our words about Jesus. Then, of course, the world doesn't receive it perfectly. And you see in Revelation 11 that the world is tormented by this. And you know, when we speak the truth about sexuality, when we speak the truth about morality, when we speak the truth about Jesus, when we speak about Jesus is the only way to God because he is God's own son, the world doesn't like it. So it's not like everybody likes the message. If you're going to be a witness, don't expect everybody to like it. You're going to see wonderful things. You're going to see people touched and saved and rescued and their whole lives turned around. But you're going to also see some people who are going to be pretty darn hostile to you. And that's what's described here in Revelation 11.
Yeah, it's interesting. I keep thinking about the catechism phrase, talking about the return of the Lord. The time between his first coming and second coming is the time of the Spirit and of witness.
Yeah.
And the coming of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit that each person is given in baptism and in conversion to Christ, empowers us to participate in this work of witness. It's not something we just go out and manage on our own. It's not something we just do with our great ideas.
Yeah.
The Spirit empowers us to speak the word. And
maybe
it might be even helpful. What's the core of what the Spirit wants us to speak and the church to give witness to?
Yeah. Well, the core of the message is Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is coming again. The core of the message is Jesus, the Son of God, is inviting everyone into a personal relationship with God. And he's inviting us to open our lives to him, to let him change us, to turn from what's wrong and to welcome a relationship with God, a God who will not only tell us what's the right thing to do, but gives us an interior power, the grace of the Holy Spirit to be different people, to become sons and daughters of God. God is inviting every human being into his family. God created human beings because he wanted children. He's a loving father. He's an adoptive dad. And he wants to adopt every person in the whole world. And he says, come, let me adopt you. And to show you how much I care about you, I sent you my only begotten son who gave his life for you. We want you in the family. We want you as younger brothers and sisters of Jesus. So come.
And in order to do that, Jesus said we need to be born of water.
Yes.
And the Spirit.
Yes.
What does that mean? It relates so much to what we're talking about here in the book of Revelation. What does that mean, being born again by water and the Spirit?
Well, so it means a new beginning. It means a rebirth, that a person really has changed. Paul speaks of it elsewhere when he's talking about baptism as dying and rising with Christ. It's somehow entering into a new life. It's passing from our old sinful self to a new self. Not that we're incapable of sinning because our human nature is still there, but we have a new life in us. And if you've known anybody who's undergone conversion, real conversion, there's just a difference there in the way they are now from the way they were. I went through conversion. I was a Christian before, but somehow it had never been actualized. I was born again in water because it had baptism, but somehow the Spirit that's supposed to accompany baptism had not been activated in my life. And so when I made an adult conversion and invitation of Jesus into my life and invitation of the Spirit in my life, all of a sudden it was like the wind filled the sails and there was something new. There was a new dynamism. And the Gospel of John, which speaks about being born of the water Spirit, says those who are born of the Spirit, you know, are moved by the Spirit, and where they come and where they go, nobody knows. You know, the Holy Spirit is, it kind of gives them a new vitality. And this is the consequence of a relationship with the Lord. So it's the simple way to get there is to pray. Say, God, I want that. I want to be reborn. I need to be reborn. I'm not very good the way I was born and the way I am. Change me. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put me on the right road. And then seek the church, because the Lord has given the church to make it possible for people to be reborn. We're reborn in the font of baptism. We're reborn through prayer and confession and Eucharist. into an experiential relationship with God that is transformative.
And here's why the church is so convinced that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Only Jesus can do this to a human being or for a human being.
Yeah.
Because what he's not just transferring teaching. He's not just passing on new ideas and fresh outlooks or a philosophy. He's literally giving us a participation in his resurrected humanity. He's beginning a new creation.
Yeah.
So the humanity that's going to exist beyond death with God forever in glory. That's what it's all about. And that doesn't come just by my personality or the my bloodlines or how smart I am
or
what
or
I've
my
done
strength
in the world.
Of will
what
or
I've
my,
done in the world.
Yeah, or my achievements. None of that is what matters.
It comes to us as a gift of God's mercy
and
on
grace.
Us who literally are cut off from that. It's not in our future.
Yeah.
Apart from God's action and our saying in Jesus Christ on the cross and the power of his Spirit and our saying yes to him and inviting him, say, I need that transformation.
Yeah.
I need that eternal life that I have in me. Remember Lewis's bios and Zoe, that kind of, he said, you know, we all have biological life, but our biological clock is ticking and it's going to die.
Exactly.
We are going to die and we're going to return to dust. We need a life beyond death. And that's in the person of Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. You know? With the resurrection of Christ, which then empowers our own baptism, God has begun a new creation. The Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, says there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Well, the new creation began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the whole creation that we know of, the world in which we live with our sinful fallen nature and with a world that has so much order on a human level and an ecological level and a natural disaster level, got death and so on, it's headed for death. This world, I mean, is astronomers say this, our creation is coming to a close. They all say it's got an end point. And the good news is that there's a beginning of a new creation, and we can pass from the old creation to the new creation by being united to Jesus and have that divine life come into us. We're meant to be divinized. We're meant to be united to God as sons and daughters of God.
Yeah, and this is so much at the heart of what the apostles told us. You know, they said these beautiful things like, we beheld his glory.
Yeah.
You know, the eternal life which has come from the Father has appeared to us. We saw it. We touched it. We heard it. And so they're saying, look, we're talking about a whole new reality that is broken into our reality, and it's in a person.
Yeah.
It's in Jesus.
Yeah.
And so everybody's concerned about progress and you know but we know the future. The future is Christ risen and glory, and anybody who wants to participate in that existence in Christ for the glory of the Father. I mean, that's really what it is.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're called to bear witness of that. We didn't get to talk as much about witness because we got so excited about the gospel.
We did. Let's come back tomorrow and talk a little bit more about witness.
All right, sounds good.
We just have a few seconds, Peter. Why don't you close with a prayer for
anybody
to kind of open their hearts to the Lord in that way. So,
Heavenly Father, God of love and mercy, we know your plan and purpose because you revealed it to us in sacred scripture. And we pray now that you'll touch all who are listening to this broadcast and all those who we love, who we care about, our friends, our neighbors, our family members who don't know you. And we pray that you will draw them, Lord, to an experience of you, to a knowledge of you, to that conversion and salvation, and to that new creation. Come, Lord, show your mercy and grace to us right now, and to all your people, and to all the world. Show your mercy, we pray, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Look forward to tomorrow, friends. Dr. Williamson will be with us again. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.